I want to explore that passage we just read, but before we do that, I want to give you this little insight. As we were just here, and it's Vacation Bible School, and raise your hand if you were helping out with VBS this year, if you volunteered in some way. It was just awesome. It was just so smooth this year. It was just great. But what Amy would do every day before VBS started is she would lead a team meeting over by the kitchen. And so you get everybody together, kind of go through all the stuff that's going on. Hey, you know we're doing this, and this is happening. excuse me. And if there was any changes for the day because of weather, like we had a lot this week, but if there was changes going on, she would let us know. But every day she would start out with some sort of devotional thought. And on Tuesday morning, she starts out with a couple of questions, and she's like, have you ever felt alone? Or have you ever felt overwhelmed? And you could tell she was kind of aiming it at the teens and the helpers there, but I leaned over to one of the other adults who was there, and I say to her, yeah, that's called being an adult, isn't it? And it was funny, though, because I made the joke on Tuesday morning, but the questions kind of rattled around in my head. The whole point of what she was getting at with the devotion was rattling around in my head. And what I was realizing is that everything that we do here, whether it's for the little munchkins, the preschoolers and younger, all the way up to our most senior and seasoned members, we're trying to help people work out what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus in the year 2025. Of whatever point we're at in our life, whatever it is we're struggling with, whatever the issues that we're facing, it's how do we handle that? How do we work through those things? How do we deal with the challenges in a way that we can respond out of God's grace? And it's an interesting question wherever we're at. And that's why I want to look at this passage today. This passage where Jesus is talking to the centurion is one of my favorites. It's always just got one of my favorite lines out of the Bible in there. And it's the passage that we worked through on Wednesday with all the kids. So on Wednesday, you would see people running around dressed as centurions. And it's just kind of fun to see Wisconsin teenagers dressed as centurions. But it's this really interesting piece of the gospel. See, what happens, this is relatively early in the story. And what happens is Jesus has spent the Sermon on the Mount right before that. He's up on the mountain, up in the north of Israel, and he's teaching on all the stuff, on forgiveness, loving your enemies, how to pray, all that good stuff. And he comes down off of the mountain, and the first person he runs into is a leper. And the leper is asking to be healed, and Jesus heals him. And then Jesus runs into the centurion. And the centurion comes up to Jesus and he says, I have this servant and he's suffering terribly and he's paralyzed. Can you please heal him? And Jesus responds, I'll go to your house right away. And that is a huge deal because what the centurion knows is how much that would cost an observant Jew. If you were an observant Jew, you just did not go into the house of a Gentile. It was not allowed, and it had all sorts of repercussions. And one of the things I want you to understand is as you're reading through the Gospels or anything in the New Testament, always pay attention to what the centurions have to say. The centurions are people who are smart. They have been around for a long time. They have been serving for years, if not decades, in the Roman army. They are people with authority and with judgment. And it's kind of like this. This might be the easiest way to understand it. You know how all our funniest comedians in America are Canadian? Okay, those of you who are laughing understand this, okay? It's true. Because you have all these wonderful Canadian comedians in America, and they're part of the reason they're so funny is they are just half a step outside of American culture. They understand American culture, but they're just a little different. And so they can see all of our foibles. They can see all the places where it's like, are you sure you really want to do that? But it's a fascinating look at American culture. And so these centurions, They're not Jewish. They're not part of the Jewish culture, but they have been living in it for years, if not decades, so they understand it, and they speak the language. And so he, this particular centurion, understands who Jesus is. And he says, my servant, can you heal him? And when Jesus offers to come to his house, he's like, no, you do not need to do that. And he gives this great line, and this is one of just my favorite lines out of the gospel. He says, I'm not a man, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, there's a whole lot going on there that I want to unpack. There's a whole lot. And the first thing is, this is a great way of thinking about prayer. So often we get into this mode where we think prayer is, you have to say these words in this order, and you have to use this language, or you have to stretch Jesus out to five syllables or something else. And really what prayer is it's like this centurion. And he comes to Jesus and he says, I need this. I'm desperate for this. And I know you can do it. There is this beautiful passage out of Romans chapter 8 where Paul writes about how the Holy Spirit takes our prayers to the Father with sighs and groans too deep for understanding. And it's just a wonderful way to think about how when we don't have the words, when we don't have the right things to say, the Holy Spirit takes those words up to the Father and translates them. What's on our hearts, what we don't know how to say. And so the centurion, he's speaking and he's like, Jesus, I need this. And he's recognizing the authority of Jesus because it's that great line. I have authority. I tell this guy to go, he goes. I tell that guy to stop, he stops. And he's saying, look, you have so much more authority than I do. And I want you to think about this, because this centurion literally has a power of life and death over the people under his command. And maybe not in law, but in custom, he's got the power of authority of death over the people around him, people in that culture. He just could. And he's appealing to Jesus saying, you have this authority. Please help me. It's a plea. And I love this because it's recognizing that Jesus is God and recognizing the authority he has. I have been thinking a lot about Roman stuff for reasons we don't need to get into. And I was always kind of confused until recently on this whole concept, how the Romans would turn their emperors into gods. And they would say, yep, this guy Caesar Augustus, we love him, we're saying he's died now, and now he's a god. And I never really figured it out until recently when somebody explained it to me. It's because the Romans didn't think their gods were that powerful. The Romans thought the gods were just like people, except just a little extra. And if you read through the Greeks and the Romans and their mythology, you recognize that their gods are just people with all the base desires and all the foibles and all the problems that we humans have. They just have a little extra power and a little extra everything. And I think part of that is reflected in us. And instead of understanding that we're made in God's image, we flip it around and we make God in our image. And we kind of think, well, if God can really do this, if God really has the power, and we forget to actually, God does have that power. We forget to really do anything with that. We forget to put that in our hearts. And so what the centurion is doing is he's reminding us, saying, hey, no, Jesus, I know you got the power. I know you can do this. And we read through the stories of the gospel. We read through what Jesus does with him calming the storm, with him conquering death. We understand that he does exactly what the centurion is talking about. He says the word, anything happens. And that's a powerful reminder for us. There's one other thing that I want to pull out of this discussion on authority. I think part of what we do is we kind of just try and slide stuff past. And we think, well, this is good. God is good. Therefore, God wants me to have it. And we forget it might be good, but maybe it's not good for us. Maybe it's not the thing that we're supposed to have right now. And we just try and sneak it through. There is stuff about everybody in the Christian spectrum that I love. I have prayed with and talked with people across the whole spectrum over the decades. And there's something about each denomination, each particular tribe that I love. And those folks who hang out in that particular spectrum of your Pentecostals, your charismatic Catholics, I love hanging out with those folks for a couple of reasons. First of all, they are always filled with joy. They are just fun. But the thing I want to share with you that they do so well is when somebody says, hey, I think God is calling me to do this, or God is telling me to do this. They say, that's wonderful. That's great God is telling you to do that. But let's sit down and pray about it together. And they get three or four or more people who have wisdom and judgment, and they pray about it together. And they'll say, yeah, we agree with you. God is telling you to do that. Or they'll be like, maybe not. Maybe not now. And it's a wonderful way for a community to come together and look at things and say, yeah, we respect God's authority. We respect who Jesus is. We respect the Holy Spirit calls us. But sometimes what we want and what we think we want is not what God is calling us to right now. And that's a great lesson for us, to respect the authority of who Jesus is. Because I love the way the centurion puts this together, because he's not just saying that you, Jesus, have authority over healing my servant, but you have authority over my life. You have authority over who I am. You have authority for who I am called to be. And that is a wonderful piece. So as the story ends, this servant is healed at that very moment. Jesus doesn't go to the house. He just says he's healed. And the centurion goes forward from there. And so as we're reading through this passage, what I want us to think about is, who are we called to be? And do we give Jesus that authority in our lives? Because it's a fascinating way to think about our lives and who we are. As we continue to work out, just like the kids do, who are we in this time? As we face these challenges in front of us, as we face the stuff going on, because we're called to be his people now and forever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the centurion. We thank you so much for the ministry that you did in his life. We pray that we would be like him, respecting your authority and understanding that we are your people. Amen. If you'd please stand if you're able, and we will sing.